And so we're going to be talking about religion or relationship. Religion or relationship. So hopefully you got your bulletin, and in your bulletin, if you look in there, there's a little copy of the notes for today. These are basically just the slides that you're going to be seeing up on the screen, but you'll be able to have it right there with you, because I know what slides are like. Sometimes they're there and they disappear, and I really didn't get a chance to look them over. And so you can take this home with you, and you can review these different things, or you can just follow along while we're here in the service. But we're going to talk about religion or relationship. And you know, they both start the same. Both those words start the same. And sometimes it's hard to tell the difference, even with people who are living out of religion or starting in a relationship. They both start the same, but they end very different. And that's kind of what we're going to talk about today. Depending on whether you know a person is in a religion or a relationship, it's going to be very different result. So let's first just look at the word religion. So a good place to start is with a dictionary. Can I get an amen? I want to tell you, the reason why I do these little dictionary definitions, and probably sometimes you guys might think, well, that seems kind of foolish to go over a definition of a word we already know. But here's the deal, guys. Our world is all about changing definitions these days. They're all about working with the feeling of a word rather than the definition of a word. And so we get all kinds of crazy stuff going on because literally we just forget what the word really means in the first place. And so here's the deal. We're going to look at religion, and I just went to the kind of old standby, the Merriam-Webster Dictionary. And so just to break it down, it's the service and worship of God or the supernatural. A personal set of institutionalized system of religious attitudes, beliefs, and practices. Okay, now you notice it's a little bit up for grabs. Whenever we're talking about religion, this could be like a religion in the that leads you toward the true God, the only true God. A religion could be in a lot of different things, right? So the word religion is just a little bit more up for grabs. So you know, we'll look at the root of it. I don't know if you guys ever do any etymology or anything like that, but you know, words start somewhere, and so this one starts kind of from a Latin root, which is religio, which has to do with obligation, bond, reverence. Okay, now we know that word reverence, that can be a really good word. You know, we should have reverence for God. And so, like, I don't want to lose that and say that part of it's just all bad, but we can see this obligation and bond thing. Okay? So we want to kind of hang on to that thought as we move along. So with religion, we'll just kind of put it into a little bit more of a working definition. It starts out with an idea that there's something wrong or missing, and it depends on what you believe or what you do. So a religion, oftentimes, what religion you decide to follow, what religion you belong to, it really comes down to you. Do you all see things exactly the same as your neighbor beside you? How about even in the home? Do all the wives and husbands see everything exactly the same? Uh-oh. I'm getting a lot of shaking heads. Absolutely, guys. And so this can be the problem with religion. This can be the problem with religion. Now, religion in and of itself isn't all bad. So I don't really want to, diss it. But what I'm saying is it's somewhat dependent on what each person believes. That's why we have so many different world religions. Can you name off some world religions? They actually had, on this one website I was looking at, they had this picture, this patch that had all the different symbols for all the major world religions on them. And I mean, there was probably like 20 symbols there. And I started to post them, but I thought, I want to keep my focus on Christ. Because sometimes we can kind of get off, you know, thinking about all the other ones. But if you start thinking about it, there's a lot of religions. And a lot of times we can get confused between religions and denominations. I want to encourage you, don't get confused between just little differences in the way that Christians believe and what really are our major world religions, which are completely different beliefs. So you've got Hinduism, Buddhism, Islam, big one, right? very fast-growing religion as well, have much different ideas than what we do. You know, I could keep on going, but let's focus in now on the difference between religion and relationship. So now we're gonna deal with the word relationship. And again, just going down to raw definitions, had a couple different ones that seemed to fit really well. The way in which two or more people, groups, countries, etc., talk to, behave toward, and deal with each other. Now, you seeing the difference between a religion and a relationship already? You see, a religion basically depends on what I think and then what I do. Okay? Regardless of who else I'm dealing with here, I still think and do like I think and do. Okay, now whenever it comes to a relationship, this depends on how two can work together. Right? Two people, groups, countries, or whatever, talk to, behave toward, and deal with each other. So now we brought up marriage a minute ago. And we decided that even within our homes, husbands and wives don't always see everything exactly the same way. Do I get an amen to that? Okay. Even in, you know, we can keep going. Even with parents and children. Do I get an amen? Even with people within the church. Do I get an amen? All right. How about between a person and the ways of God? Do I get an amen? Sometimes it's a little hard for us to understand his ways. And so, if we're just following a religion, we're going to do what we think, and we're going to keep doing what we think, no matter what anybody else tries to tell us, even sometimes if God's trying to tell us something different. But if we're in a relationship is dependent on how the two deal with each other and can work together. There's communication and all this stuff going on in a relationship. Okay? And it's the way that two people or things are connected. And it's based on, it's okay, you're fine. Go ahead to that next one. So just a comparison. I just want to kind of put them side by side, so to speak. Just a comparison. All right, religion is based on what you think or what you do, and oftentimes it'll result in a zealot with something to prove. Okay? Those guys that flew the planes into the Twin Towers, those were people who had a religion, who had something to prove, and they proved it. In fact, they were willing to give their life to prove it. Amen? You know, something that's always troubled me about that whole deal, for all of you guys that were alive during the time of the Twin Towers, 9/11, some of you maybe weren't even alive, but you've heard about it, is what in the world were those guys thinking that last second right before they plowed into that building? I can't seem to escape that. They must have felt like there was going to be something better on the other side of that. Otherwise, they wouldn't have tried it. Man, were they dreadfully mistaken. But they were very committed to it, and they were very religious people. And so we've really got to be careful when we're talking about religion. Now, on the other hand, relationship, okay, side-by-side comparison, based on who you know, not just on what you do, it's based on who you know and staying connected, right? See the difference between that and religion? Christianity is not about a religion! It's about a relationship. It's about a relationship with a real living Jesus Christ who lives in heaven today, and he still communicates with his people through certain means. And it's about walking with him. It's about talking with him. I love that song about the garden, you know. I come to the garden, right? Alone. While there's still dew on the roses, but you don't end alone. You go there alone, or seem like you're alone, but you go there to meet with the one who meets with you during that alone time. Amen? You take some quiet time, and you get with the one who loves your soul, who you're connected to in a relationship. Okay? Let's see what kind of results we'll get from that. Faithful service and a desire to please. How about all those marriages out there? I know I'm picking on marriages again. If you don't spend time together, what's going to happen? You get separated. You start to drift apart, right? So what do we do when we realize we're drifting apart? We recommit to spend some time together. Because relationship's about staying connected, right? All right. So, it's a process of that. How many have been married more than 10 years? Raise your hand if you're more than 10 years. You kind of got the point that, like, we have to renew that commitment sometimes. Amen? Because so, life's busy, and we can kind of drift apart. How about with Jesus? Amen? You begin to see, you have to recommit to staying close to Him in this relationship. I want you to go away from this place with a relationship with Jesus. I don't want you to go away from this place learning some more about religion, because I'm going to tell you, religion is, the end result of religion without a relationship is hellfire. And it don't matter how good the religion is you're trying to follow, if you don't have a relationship, the result is you're going to have to pay for your sins because you've not accepted the payment that Jesus provided. And the only way you can accept that payment Jesus provided is through a relationship with Jesus. That's what it's all about. He says to all who believe in Him, will receive Him and believe in His name. Romans 1:12. To those he gave the right to become children of God. And so it's about a relationship of a father to a child. It's about the relationship of a bridegroom to his bride. Those are the two major symbols that we find in the Scripture about our relationship with Christ. So as we looked at these comparisons, we move on to the next slide. We're going to look at some biblical examples of people that had either a relationship or a religion. And so an Old Testament example, one of the most troubling stories in the Old Testament to me, is about Abraham with Isaac when God told him to go up on the mountain and sacrifice Isaac. That's a troubling story to me. Because I love my kids, and I can't imagine how anybody could give up their son, right? But yet God was willing, wasn't He? And so this was a foreshadow. I want everybody to understand that. But I also want everybody to understand, if Abraham would have been a religious zealot, he'd have killed his son that day. But since he was a man who had a relationship with his father, God, and his relationship was connected, he was listening, he was wanting to do and please the one he had that connection with. Listen to what happens here in the story. And he said, "Do not lay your hand on the lad." So it came right up to the point that Isaac's on the altar. And Abraham's ready to carry out what he feels like God's wanting him to do at that point. But then the angel spoke out to him, "Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." You see, a zealot would have killed him. But a man with a relationship was willing to yield to the one he had the relationship with immediately. Then Abraham lifted his eyes and he looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. So Abraham went, took the ram, and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. You see, and then he said, new name for God, God the Lord will provide. You see, relationship. It's about a relationship of walking with God. It's about a relationship of being able to yield as soon as He tells us to change direction, or He gives us a more complete understanding of things. There's many more. We could be here all day giving you examples, because the Bible is really just a huge book of examples between religion and relationship. Religion and relationship. Religion and relationship. But let's jump into the New Testament. We're going to take up a couple of examples here that I think would be appropriate for this particular time. There's two different stories in the Bible, two different accounts of when Jesus was anointed by a woman. Okay, and one of them is in Luke, and then we have another one that's in a couple of other Gospels. And it's awesome to see how these work out. But this one here from Luke I particularly picked because I love the discussion that happens. So let's see what happens. So Jesus is invited to dinner by a very religious man. The position that this man held was a Pharisee. Can anybody tell me what a Pharisee is? Jewish religious leader, yes? Okay, any others? Want to give me some details? Yes.
There were sects that started after the Maccabean
These were some very legalistic individuals who tried to, actually, they tried to be an example to the rest of the Jews. This is how you live the law perfectly. I'm going to do it perfectly, and I want you to watch me so that then you'll know how to do it perfectly too, because you'll do it just like me, and of course I'm doing it perfectly, so you'll know that it's perfect because you're doing it like me because I'm perfect. All right, do you get the idea? All right, that's what these guys were like. And so they would criticize Jesus all the time. If you read through the New Testament Gospels, you'll see these guys are the only ones Jesus ever really gets harsh with. Because they're supposed to be religious leaders, and they're criticizing everybody else, but they lacked something. And now this is what they lacked. So he invites them over for dinner. Jesus sits down. This lady sneaks in, and she had already had an encounter with Jesus where she had had her sins forgiven. And she was a very sinful woman, and she realized, man, I've been forgiven a lot. So she comes in, and behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew Jesus sat at the table at the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil and stood at his feet behind him weeping. Wouldn't even get up in front of him. Okay? Now the Pharisee's watching all this, and it's like, ooh, you know, look at this sinner. Look at what she's doing. Well, she came in, and she began to wipe his feet and with her tears. And wiped them with her hair. So she washed them with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with fragrant oil. Okay, and as we move on to the next slide there, we realize this really offended this Pharisee. Whenever he saw it, he spoke to himself saying, this man, if he were a prophet, he would know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner. He wouldn't even let her touch him. Anybody tell me the rest of the story? I'll go ahead and sum it up for you real quick. Mm-hmm. And he said there was two people that were forgiven a debt. One was an extremely large debt, and another was a very small debt. He said, which one do you think was more thankful? The one that was forgiven the greater debt, the Pharisee says. And he said, Simon, that was the Pharisee's name, you've answered correctly. And he said, this woman has been forgiven much, therefore she loves much. And I can tell you guys, there ain't one of us sitting in this room that shouldn't realize how much we've done wrong and what the cost was for our sin caused Jesus to die on that cross to pay for it. Even just one sin was more than what could be allowed to let us into heaven. And I just be honest with you, whenever I found out how much Jesus had forgiven me of, it made me really thankful. And it makes me really thankful every day and want to maintain a relationship with him. You see, just like this woman, she was so thankful, she was willing to sacrifice to please Jesus. And so, wonderful example of the difference between the Pharisee who had a religion, and he despised everybody who wasn't like him, and a woman who had been forgiven sins and had a relationship. Man, she was so thankful, she was pouring herself out for him. Big difference between relationship and religion. One more example. These are a couple guys that you're probably going to know. And so we got two people who betrayed Jesus in the New Testament. Can anybody name who those two were? Judas and Peter. And I'll just be honest with you. There's an example there of a man with a religion, Judas, and a man with a relationship, Peter. And they start a lot the same. They even hung out together. They even did a lot of their stuff together. They both were with Jesus. They started out alike. But they ended much different. And we see that the betrayer, Judas, you know, he sold Jesus out. In fact, he was there for these anointings as well. And in the second case where the woman anointed him, he got mad. Because he thought, man, rather than her wasting that oil on him, she should have given it to the treasury or something so that we could have given that money to the poor. He got really indignant because of his religion. And you know, then he goes and he sells Jesus out. Can anybody tell me how much he sold him for? 30 pieces of silver. Yes. He sold him for 30 coins. And then he realized how wrong it was what he had done. It says it right there. 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders. He took it back to him and he says, I've sinned by betraying innocent blood. And they said, what does that do? You see to it. And here's what religion will do to you. Rather than repenting, rather than going back to Jesus and saying, I'm sorry, maintaining a relationship, he went out and hanged himself. He destroyed himself. That's what religion will do to us, guys. It'll destroy us. But on the other hand, you got Peter. And y'all know that Peter, he betrayed him too, didn't he? How did he betray him? He denied him. How many times did he deny him, Terry? Three times. Overtly. Actively. I don't know the man. He even threw some curse words in there trying to make it really convincing. Therefore, the disciple who loved Jesus, who Jesus loved, said to Peter, it's the Lord. And we see here in John chapter 21. Let's go ahead and move on to the next one. So this Peter, who had denied Jesus just like Jesus said he would, he went away and he wept bitterly. He was really broken over it. And then right at the end, right before Jesus went back to heaven, Jesus called them all together. And he actually appeared to them on the seashore while they were out fishing. And Peter saw, it's the Lord. So whenever he heard that it was the Lord, he put his outer garment, put on his outer garment. He jumped out of the boat and he swam to the shore to get to Jesus because this is the one he had a relationship with. Even though he denied him three times and he felt terrible about it, he wept bitterly. Have you ever done anything wrong before after becoming a Christian and it makes you feel terrible? Amen. Can you relate to how Peter felt whenever he denied Jesus? I mean, guys, I'm going to tell you, sometimes we've denied Jesus, amen? Because whenever we do bad things, after having said we're a Christian, we do things that are very unbecoming. In some ways, we're denying Christ. We may even be hiding our faith from somebody because we're embarrassed about it or we're afraid we'll get in trouble about it or something like that. There's really no difference between that and what Peter did. And yet Peter rushed back to the one whom he had the relationship with. He sought his forgiveness. And if you look at John chapter 21, that's your assignment. Read through the last part of John chapter 21 later on today. We can see that just like he had denied Jesus three times, Jesus asked him three times, did he love him? He gave him three times to repent so that he can be completely restored in this relationship with Christ. And that is a relationship. A relationship isn't, hey, I'm good enough and that's why I'm saved and so I'm going to make myself a poster child. No, a relationship is you're walking with Jesus and sometimes you goof up and sometimes you make mistakes, but you keep sticking together with him because a relationship's about connection and Jesus will keep dusting you off and keep you going. So I'm going to ask you a question. Who do you want to be most like? Judas or Peter? Because we're all going to deny him sometimes. We're all going to mess up sometimes. But are we in this for religion? Are we in this for relationship? I want to be like Peter. Do I get an amen to that? Amen. Raise your hand if you want to be more like Peter than Judas. Amen. Nobody wants to be like Judas, I hope. You see, your motives are really reflected in the fruit. And so what kind of fruit is growing on your life? You know, religion makes you want everyone to be like you. That's kind of what the Pharisees look like. Be like me. You see? Because I'm doing it right. A relationship makes you want to be like Christ. You see the difference? Religion makes you want everybody to be like you. But relationship makes you want to be like Christ and want others to know the joy of Christ. Do I get an amen? A relationship, you're going to want everybody to know about that relationship you got with Jesus. But you're not going to feel like you got it all together and everybody needs to be just like you if you're really being propelled by love. Guys, you came to church today, and I'm glad you did. I'm going to ask you a question. Did you come just to try to do your dues for the week? Just to do a religious activity? Or did you come because you want to be closer to Jesus? It's a really good question for us to ask ourselves. You know, sure, we like each other. Say amen to that, because we got great fellowship in this church. But don't just come for one another, okay? Even though we do want to stick together, we need each other, and it's good. But I want you to especially want to be getting closer to Jesus in that relationship with Him. Because as we get closer to one another, every one of you husbands and wives and family members and children and moms and dads, the closer we get to Jesus, the closer we get to one another. As you climb that ladder toward Jesus, you're getting closer to one another. In the same way within the church. So I want you to be doing it for the relationship. You see, religion makes you serve because you have to. But in a relationship, you're going to serve because you want to. You're going to serve God, Christ, because you know it pleases Him. When you're sitting here reflecting in your own life, just go ahead and bow your heads for a second with your eyes closed so you're not looking at anybody else. Just look introspectively for a minute. I want you to ask yourself a question. Have I been trying to follow Jesus out of religion, or am I really living out in a relationship with Him? And then we're going to have a word of prayer, and after that prayer, we're going to have time of invitation. So keep your eyes closed for a minute. Your head's bowed, and let me pray for you. Dear Lord, our Father in heaven, thank you that we know that whenever we pray in the name of Jesus, you hear us. And so, Lord, we come to you today as I lead us in prayer, and I ask you, Lord, to show us. Show each one of us individually. Am I doing this out of relationship, or am I just doing this out of religion? You know, Paul started out as Saul doing it for a religion. He was a Pharisee. But his religion brought him to a relationship, and once he was confronted, he chose relationship over religion and became the Paul of the New Testament that we see. So Lord, regardless of what we were doing when we came into this place, I pray we'll leave this place in a relationship with Jesus. How does that start? It starts by confessing our sin to you and saying, Lord, I'm sorry because my sin caused you to have to die on that cross. I am personally responsible for the death of Jesus. And then I want to thank you for dying for me to take my place. And as I repent of my sin, that means I'm sorry and I want to turn away from it. I pray that you would save me, Jesus, and be my Lord from this point forth. I believe you died on that cross for me, and I believe you rose from the dead on the third day, and I believe you are in heaven beside the Father, and so I give my life to you today. Please receive me, Jesus. And as we cry out to him in this way, I know that he hears us. Thank you, God, for hearing us. Please, Lord, save us today. In Jesus' name, amen. And as we have this time of invitation, we're going to be taking the Lord's Supper right after this. If there's anything you need to clear off your heart between you and the Lord in that relationship with God, I'd like for you to express that in whatever way you need to. You may need to come to the altar. God may say, I want you to go down front, lay this down. You may want to come pray with me. If you want to come pray with me, that's cool. I'm here. That's why I stand up front. I'm happy to pray with you, whatever you may need. This may be the day that you decide you need to be baptized. You want to join the church. If that's your decision, right now is a great time to express that. Because here's the deal about a relationship. As we walk along and we stay connected, we'll continue to grow in that relationship. But if we refuse, we're not going to be able to stay connected anymore. We'll have to come back and meet the Lord again. Because you see, here's the thing, Lord, don't move. Once he's told us this is what you need to do, he's very steadfast about that. So we need to follow him. Okay? So I pray that you'll follow the Lord today as we have his time of invitation. Let's see.